Speaking today with Brad Bradford, who is running for district attorney in Harris County. And first question I like to ask candidates is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I have spent my career in the areas of criminal law, public safety, and criminal justice. And I think given what has happened in Harris County in recent months, the last year or so, we have seen a tremendous need for integrity and fairness to be brought back to the Harris County District Attorney's Office. But not just that. The mission of the office has to be broadened and understood that it is about public safety. And I have a record of strength and experience in making neighborhoods safer.
Okay. Now you are a lawyer, but you don't have much courtroom experience. How does that impact your ability to be district attorney?
I think when we look at the mission of the district attorney's office, as I said earlier, it is about public safety. I view the mission of the office as being that of public safety. And under the umbrella of public safety, there are several components: citizen education and awareness, crime prevention, case intake screening and diversion, and criminal prosecution. All of those things are initiatives that must be undertaken at the Harris County District Attorney's Office, with the goal being improving the quality of life, making neighborhoods safer. The courtroom component, I'm ready, willing, and able to do that. That's no foreign environment to me. I've been an attorney of 15 years, been in the courtroom hundreds and hundreds of times in different capacities. So when you look at what I bring to the table, the education, training, and experience, I think I'm uniquely qualified to be district attorney in Harris County.
Now you talk about, obviously Harris County District Attorney's Office, obviously went through some interesting times a few months ago with Chuck Rosenthal and revelations about his email practices and the recent court case involving the Ibarra brothers. Now, Rosenthal, of course, resigned in January, and there's an interim DA in there now, and the person who you're opposing in November is someone who is not currently in the DA's office. So someone might look at this and say, well, Rosenthal's gone, his natural successor is not the nominee against you. The office has changed. What else needs to be done? What would you say to that?
The office needs a culture change. I have been a police officer for 24 years, a police chief for 7 years, and an attorney for 15 years, and I have never seen as many people who distrust components of our justice system as do today. And that is in part because the culture in the office is in need of change. Many citizens have seen things, they've heard things, they've been part of incidents which have led them to believe that there is no reason to trust our public safety, our criminal justice process in Harris County, and the district attorney's office is at the center of a lot of that distrust based on what people have seen and what they have heard. So we need a cultural change in the office, and I have a record of being part of changing the culture in large organizations.
Can you be more specific about what people have seen and heard within the district attorney's office that leads you to believe the culture change is needed?
Exactly. When you look at the fine workings of the Houston Police Department today, it is a great organization with tremendous community support, and it's doing an exemplary job in my view. But nonetheless, it is not a department without its history. It had to get to that point. As a young officer, I was part of the team that developed the process which changed the culture of the Houston Police Department and helped implement that process. So I understand what I'm talking about when I say culture change and how to make that come about. Nothing that someone has told me about, nothing that I've read about, is what I have done, what I've been involved in. The district attorney's office need culture change. We have seen open, blatant examples of racism, sexism, religious persecution. Harris County citizens being eliminated from juries because they attend a certain church. These things are wrong. As an example, those emails that was exposed to civil litigation. Some of the emails we know now through public access were blatantly racist, blatantly sexist. Some were illegal. There were attempts to gather campaign funds on county computers. That email just didn't go to one person. That email went to several people, hundreds of people in the district attorney's office. And none of them stepped forward and revealed that this is illegal. This is certainly improper and unethical. That tells me that some systemic change is needed, and the culture perhaps needs to be moved to that of one that is more ethical. Let me make another point. We know that the promotional process in the district attorney's office is based exclusively on did you win the case or get a plea? Did you win the case or get a plea? And we know that win a case doesn't necessarily equate to justice. So we must move back to obeying the law, respecting the principle of justice, and pursuing the truth. That's the type of culture change needed in the office, in my view.
Well, let's talk a bit about that, because obviously in Dallas County, there have been a number of convictions from past years overturned after the new district attorney, Craig Watkins, implemented a program to review some things, to review some cases where convictions may have been based on faulty evidence. Now, of course, Dallas County still maintained all of that old evidence. Harris County, generally speaking, has not. But, you know, do you envision a process that you would put in place to review possibly questionable convictions in past years to see if existing evidence or new evidence would lead to a different result?
Yes. The conviction integrity unit that Mr. Craig Watkins has implemented in Dallas, it works. And I think it's needed here in Harris County. What it does, it doesn't raise a question concerning one's guilt. It examines evidence, whether it's eyewitness, scientific evidence, or whatever, to determine if, in fact, someone has been incarcerated, that they are the person that should be there. None of us should want an innocent person incarcerated. We need a process in Harris County, as exists in Dallas County, where when evidence is brought to the forefront, which indicates that someone who is incarcerated may be innocent, that there's a process in place which can relatively, in a rapid manner, review that evidence and determine the credibility of that evidence. In Dallas, they've released about 18 innocent people. Again, not raise questions concerning their guilt, but proven objectively that they are innocent. And because we understand, we have the best jurisprudence process on the globe, but it involves human beings and science. Neither is perfect. So therefore, we know mistakes are going to be made from time to time, no matter how hard we try. So it just makes sense to me that promote fairness and promote justice, we would have a conviction integrity unit in place to ensure that the person that's incarcerated is the person that should be there. Because when we incarcerate somebody who is innocent, two things happen. One, someone has suffered irreparable harm because they are falsely accused. Just as important, the suspect is posing a risk to the community that is not incarcerated. So we should be really concerned that Harris County does not have a process in place to examine in a timely manner a claim that someone may be innocent.
Okay. Since you mentioned science, obviously the HPD Crime Lab has had its share of problems in recent years, many of which came to light while you were HPD chief. Talk to me a little bit about, first of all, how did these problems come to light, and what steps did you do, and what do you think you should have done differently while you were there to help bring these things out and fix them faster?
When Mayor Bob Lanier appointed me police chief in 1996, I continued to rely on the same supervisor in the crime lab that the two previous police chiefs had relied on. Now, we've learned now that person had done a poor job and had been doing a poor job for a long time. The independent examination has documented problems with the crime lab dating back to 1980. So we've had problems with the crime lab occurring over decades. Now, that particular supervisor did not disclose correct information on his resume about credentials, about skills. We've learned that person wasn't even qualified to be over the DNA section of the crime lab. I relied too heavily, on my view, on people with the science and technology degrees, science and biology degrees, I'm sorry. I have a criminal justice, public administration, and law degree, but I don't have a biology or science degree. So I could have been standing right there, kind of in the laboratory looking at what they were doing, but I don't understand the protocol. It's technical, it's science, it's biology. But nonetheless, that's not an excuse, that's accepting responsibility for something I should have, could have done differently. I learned now that I should have gotten at least an independent audit done of the crime lab. Why I didn't get one, why the two previous police chiefs didn't get independent audits, because I relied, as they did, on the biannual audit report that was done by the crime lab director, who signed off every 6 months on a report saying that the audit had been done and the crime lab met all federal standards. Those documents were in the file. So I received those every 6 months, saying that the laboratory was meeting federal standards. I believed that. I relied on that report. That was not true. The laboratory was out of whack. We should have done more. Now, yes, a lot of it revealed came to watch that it was occurring on my watch, but it had been happening for decades. I believe that today there's been so much trouble caused by the crime lab. We must have an independent crime lab, one that is independent of the police department, independent of the district attorney's office, where professional scientists are allowed to work and evidence speaks for itself. We must do that. Too many issues have been brought to the forefront concerning the crime laboratory. As long as the crime laboratory is part of the police department and under the review and authority, the purview and authority of the DA's office, I think we will continue to have problems with the crime laboratory for two reasons primarily. One, the police chief, the current police chief, doesn't have a science or biology degree. So as long as the laboratory is under the authority of the police department, the police chief cannot provide the proper scientific oversight. Two, it won't get the proper resources because the crime lab is having to compete with other things in the law enforcement arena, whether it's SWAT, bomb squad, and other types of things that are there. So we need the laboratory removed from under the authority of the police department and the district attorney's office and made independent. I believe that we can do that. In Los Angeles County, last year, they opened a regional crime lab that I think could be the model here, where the police department has input, the district attorney's office has input, but there's a control board that the police department does not govern.
Now, where would the funding for that come from? Is that the state or can the county do that?
I think if we look at the fact that we spend about $5 million dollars annually on the crime laboratory now, there's no reason to raise all new dollars. Just remove, supplant some of the dollars that are there and put a different governing board in place. We start by doing that. And I think that we can do a joint public-private partnership here in the Houston area. We have a wonderful medical center here at Baylor College of Medicine. They do a lot of work in this area already. I think if we started a healthy discussion about justice and public safety in Harris County, and the need to have a crime laboratory that defendants, prosecutors, police, and the citizens trust and believe there's faith and confidence in, I think we can make that happen here in Harris County.
So you would anticipate that the overseers of this thing would include members of the criminal defense bar as well as possibly members of the public?
Exactly.
Okay. You know, a case that came forward while you were police chief was one involving street racing on Westheimer Avenue, where a whole bunch of people were rounded up in a Kmart parking lot and arrested. The city only recently settled the last of the lawsuits that came out of that. The Chronicle wrote an editorial at that time that was critical of you and your role as police chief in that episode. Can you speak to that?
Kmart incident happened as a result of a police supervisor who implemented an unauthorized plan to deal with street racing. I had approved a plan to deal with street racing. I was out of town attending a mandatory training conference for a police chief in the state of Texas, and this particular supervisor decided to implement his unauthorized plan that I had not seen at that point in time, but command staff had seen the plan that I had approved. His plan had been denied because there were some serious questions about the legality of his plan. He implemented that particular plan. He was disciplined, fired, because he implemented that particular plan. Other officers who partook in that plan was disciplined also for following his illegal orders. And this particular supervisor appealed the termination. An independent arbitrator reviewed the case and decided that that particular police supervisor was responsible for that action, and he had a flawed plan that he implemented without authorization. That should not have occurred. There are a lot of people who were arrested unjustifiably. Apologies were issued. The arrest records were quashed. They were reimbursed for the towing fees. I think the city stepped forward and did as much as it possibly could do, given what had happened in the field. But nonetheless, that is something that happened. It should not have happened. And the person responsible for that was sanctioned. I take as police chief, I had 5,000 police officers and 2,000 civilian employees. What an individual employee does, my responsibility as chief, as I see it, is to provide the proper resources. the proper training to make sure people know what is expected of them. And when an officer does something that's outside the rules, outside the policy, my responsibility is to, did you know what was expected of you? Is it an issue of guiding, coaching, counseling? Is it an issue of more training? Is it an issue of discipline? Is it an issue of termination? Is it an issue of getting charges filed because you broke the law? That's what I think a proper leader does and administrator does in a large organization.
Okay. So if you were faced with a similar situation in the DA's office, how would you handle it?
When you say similar situation?
One of your assistant district attorneys presented something that was rejected and then went off and did it anyway.
I mean, what we have to do is make sure people know what is expected of them. And once they know what's expected of them, they have the resources to do the job. If someone does something that's outside the rules, when you're dealing with hundreds of employees, thousands of employees, you're going to have people who are not going to do the right thing. That's just reality. And I can say that anyone who has not made mistakes, they haven't made many decisions. But we learn from those mistakes and we move forward. And that's what makes us better suited for other positions, because it's called experience. In the district attorney's office, if someone were to make a mistake, I would start with a process of determining, did this person know what was expected of them? Did they have the proper training? Did they have the proper resources? Is it a situation which warrants additional training? Is it a situation which warrants termination? Is it a situation which warrants criminal charges being brought against that person? And you go from there, depending on the nature of the situation that has occurred, the amount of injury, amount of harm, and move forward from there.
Now, earlier in the interview, you talked about how you envision the district attorney's role as being not just one of prosecuting crimes, but being more comprehensive for public safety, improving, can you speak a bit more about what that means and how you would go about doing it?
Sure. Let me just recap. There are several components, I believe, which fall under the umbrella of public safety. The mission of the district attorney's office must be public safety with several components, one being citizen education and awareness, crime prevention, case intake screening and diversion, and criminal prosecution. Let's look at citizen education and awareness. There are many citizens who don't even know what the role of the district attorney's office is. They don't participate in the process because they don't feel like they want it. They are afraid of the process. They get jury subpoenas. Some don't even respond. Others, they respond, but they don't know what to do. They don't feel comfortable about the process. And what they've seen in the last recent months come out of the district attorney's office, that number is trifold now out there of people who don't want to get involved in the process. They don't trust the district attorney's office. The district attorney must be visible and accessible in all communities. Help educate citizens about the process, get more of them involved as witnesses and as informed jurors. Public safety is a community responsibility. There's a role that citizens must play in that process. The crime prevention component, citizens have to get involved in that process along with police to help prevent crime. The district attorney has a role to play when it comes to educating police officers, educating citizens about crime prevention strategies, and what is going to be needed from a witness, what is going to be needed of jury members. Let's explain and help get the word out before someone has to be called down as a witness. Help them understand the process. Case screening, intake, and diversion. Right now, the court dockets are full. Absolutely full. Each judge will tell you that. But the district attorney's office puts all that stuff on the docket. I think we'll look more carefully at how we are screening cases and reward and recognize prosecutors and get them to understand that justice may mean looking at a case and saying, I'm not going to file this charge unless more of this is done, more of that is done. Justice may mean after the charges have been filed and you review the case further, you're going to motion to dismiss the case. Justice isn't always going forward in determining what will the jury decide. If a prosecutor reviews the set of facts and he or she decides that this case does not reach the measure where they believe they can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, they'll step forward and promote justice by dismissing that case. Now, I'm not an advocate of being soft on crime. I spent too many years going out getting criminals and helping them get them prosecuted. We have to make sure that we are exercising good fiscal stewardship of resources. Because what we have now is taxes are way too high, the jails are full, and crime is going up. So let's do things a little bit differently.
right. Well, since you mentioned the subject of the jails, one thing that the legislature did recently was give local jurisdictions the option on Class B misdemeanors to issue citations, to appear in court rather than arrest, detain, process, go through the jails and whatnot. Some district attorneys have embraced this more than others. Bexar County, for example, the district attorney there has been pretty defiant about it, and is insisting that all B misdemeanors still result in arrests. What's your position on this?
The legislators are elected officials. They represent the people. The legislators opt to give public safety officials an option. In some scenarios, do you want to issue a citation or continue to book the person in jail? I think that it makes good sense to me, and it's good use of resources. If a police officer in the field, if a prosecutor can determine that the person can properly be identified in the field by the police officers, proper identification on that person, and two, a criminal history check in the field to make sure this person is not wanted, there's not outstanding warrants, and et cetera. To write a person a citation for a nonviolent offense, which the legislature, they've seen fit to permit, it makes sense to me that that is done. If you get proper identification and you do a proper background check on the person, it makes good sense to do it because it does several things. One, it does not change at all the offense the person is charged with. Two, it does not change at all the punishment the person is going to be subject to. It simply changes how the person is introduced into the criminal justice system, as opposed to the police officer having to stop doing everything that he or she is doing and drive the person way into downtown Houston to go through a formal booking process. You issue a citation. The person, again, is subjected to the same charge and the same punishment. It seems to me that we could save a lot of cost on police officers' time by keeping them in the field as opposed to driving way in to book everybody for every offense. And we don't clog our intake system with cases that could be handled another way. So it makes sense to me that we would do more of that. I will support that and promote that here in Harris County, as long as we can make sure that we have the person properly identified. So if they do not show up, we know reasonably certain who we're looking for and where to find them if need be.
Okay. Are there any other situations where you would support measures to, not put more pressure on the jails, which are as full as they are now? I mean, the county commissioners are still trying to pass another bond to build more jail space. What do you think about that?
Let me say that certainly there are violent people. There are people who pose a threat to our community who must be removed from society and incarcerated. No doubt about that. We need to make sure we have precious bed space for those people. But locking up everybody for everything, as we have been doing over the last several years, that has proven to be a process that has led us to more taxes, the jails being full, and crime is continuing to go up. I think when we look at issues such as substance abuse, mental illness, homelessness, those three are inextricably intertwined. You go to the Harris County Jail today, you walk in, there are 11,000 people there who are being housed in a facility designed to hold 10,000. It's my view something needs to be done. It's my view that the conditions in many instances are inhumane. We don't need to have people who suffer from mental health crisis incarcerated in the Harris County Jail. We can do better than that. We must do better than that. We have to look at the resources that we have and deploy them differently. And let's keep the precious bed space that we do have to house inmates, keep that space available for people who really must be incarcerated to protect the community. Let's start using more of today's efficient and effective alternative methods to punish offenders and hold people accountable, whether that's restitution, whether that's counseling, community service, or other methods. But let's get smart as to how we utilize our resources today.
I guess another reason why people wind up in the jail system is an inability to make bond when they're first arraigned. There's been articles written about how lately in Harris County, the they have not made very much use of pretrial services to determine who's, you know, a good risk to be released on bond and who isn't. What's your position on this?
There are hundreds and hundreds of people in the jail now, the Harris County Jail now, who haven't been convicted of anything. They have been charged with an offense. And my question is, what happened to the presumption of innocence? If you're poor and you have bad credit, you are locked up in jail and you don't get out, and you stay there for months waiting for a trial, or you do what probably a couple dozen are going to do today. They get tired of waiting in jail. They've been there 2, 3, 4 months, and they ask, when is their trial going to be? Maybe a month, maybe 2 more months. Well, they've been there several months. They've lost their job. Their family's in disarray state, and they haven't been convicted of anything. They've simply been charged with an offense. But we have what is in place, a bond schedule, which I think needs to be reviewed and probably revised. The bond schedule simply is a process that allows for, if you're charged with this crime, your bond is this. If you're charged with this crime, your bond is this. The Code of Criminal Procedure indicates that your bond should be based primarily on two things. One, the likelihood you're going to flee and not return to trial if you are released. And two, what threat you pose to the community if you are released before your guilt or innocence is determined. I think we ought to get back to that and evaluate each one of these cases and determine not whether one has the ability to pay or not, but are they going to flee? Are they posing, or will they pose a threat to the community? You know, if someone has committed an offense that is a nonviolent offense, they have been on the same job for several years, live at the same location for several years to get a proper identification. Why not do more of the pretrial strategies and do PR bonds? I think we could do that and save cost to the taxpayers of Harris County, reduce the jail population, and I think do a greater step toward justice.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about?
No. I think that what you do on your website to give information to the citizens of Houston, Harris County, Texas, I think is great. It's a great community service. And when we look at the district attorney's office, we have to get back to integrity and fairness. And I'm committed to obeying the law, respecting the principle of justice, and pursuing the truth.
All right. Brad Bradford, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Appreciate it kindly.